Let's take our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. And as we consider tonight the subject, it pretty much is introductory to what we'll be getting into, which is how to lead a soul to Christ. We all should be able to do that. You never know when you have the opportunity. I took a phone call this afternoon, and that's what it was about. He needed the Savior. And I gave him the gospel over the phone. He didn't accept Christ. He didn't understand, I don't believe. But nevertheless, you have to be ready. In season and out of season is what the Word of God tells us. But if we're not prepared, if we don't know how to share the gospel, then we're not even ready out of season or in season. And so tonight I'd like to look at the Great Commission. And I'm not sure if I'm going to finish it. I've got two different kind of outlines. It's the same outline, but two different things. And so we'll go through it once, then we'll go back through it again. If we get through it tonight, we get through it. If we don't, we don't. And we'll pick it up next time, Lord willing. But Matthew chapter 28, you know right where I'm going to go now. Verse number 18, Matthew 28, we'll start in verse number 18. We don't normally include this in the Great Commission, but I think it's important for us to see what he says here. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, the Bible tells us, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pause and ask God to bless our study. Father, we're grateful for your word and the things we can learn from it. Grateful for your Holy Spirit's indwelling presence who teaches us that which we would know. And so, Father, now as we consider a few simple thoughts tonight, Father, help us now to yield our minds and our hearts and our wills under your blessed Holy Spirit, that he might have control, and that by doing so we might be filled with the Spirit, that your name would be glorified through the service this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here in Matthew chapter 28, and I'm just going to throw the primary outline out there right now. In Matthew chapter 28, we have the method of the Great Commission. The method of the Great Commission. He tells us how to do what he's commanded us to do, what he wants us to do. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, we're not going to turn there now, just stay in Matthew. We'll get to Mark, Lord willing, in a little while. But in Mark, we have the mission field of the Great Commission. It simply says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so the mission field is laid out for us. And so if God, or if we were to ask God, where is our boundaries? Or what are our boundaries? How far are we supposed to go? Well, he told us there in Mark chapter 16. Now, in the book of Luke, it gives us the message. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. And so that's the message that we're to proclaim. And unfortunately, that message is not being proclaimed by many that call themselves churches, even in independent, fundamental Baptist churches. That message is no longer proclaimed, and it's very concerning. But we'll talk more about that when we get into the book of Luke. In John, we have the messenger of the Great Commission, the messenger of the Great Commission. And Jesus just simply said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. We're the messenger. And so we'll talk more about that when we get to the book of John. And then in Acts chapter 1, we have the might of the Great Commission when God tells us that, and you shall be witnesses, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so we have that's the rough outline that we're going to look at, but we're back in the book of Matthew now with the method. Why should we take this message out? Simply because it is our duty. It is our duty to take this out and do it as God told us. Now, the method is threefold. This is our duty. It's a commandment from God. It's not an option. It's not something that we'll do if we feel like it or if we have the personnel to do. But every church has been commanded to fulfill this commission. This is our sole reason for existence. This is how we worship God. And this threefold method, I think we all are familiar with. First of all, we need to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the idea here is to take the message that's mentioned for us in the book of Luke and elaborate it on a little bit, repentance and remission of sins in Acts chapter 20. But again, we're given a very similar message to the gospel message that we're to give to a lost and dying world. In verse number 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying the same thing that Luke does in different words, but nevertheless, the message is the same, repentance and remission of sin. That's the idea behind going and making disciples. And so it's our duty to declare that message, and we're all to take part in that. Unfortunately, there are those that believe that this commission was given only to the disciples. And if only given to the disciples or the apostles, I guess I should be more specific, that they think it's only the clergy's job. And I probably told you somewhere along the line before that when I was newer in Christ and sitting in my adult Sunday school class being taught by my pastor just asked the question, whose job is it to win souls to Christ? And one of the fellows in the class pointed at him and said, that's your job, preacher. In other words, what he was saying is, that's not my job. That's what you get paid for. That's why you get the big bucks. But nothing is further from the truth. It's all of our jobs. Jesus gave this commission to the entire church that was gathered there. Now, I don't believe that everyone in the church was there on that hilltop. But it was representative. It was the preachers and what we would call the lay people, the members of the church that he gave this to. It's our duty to take that message, to go and teach all nations, to do our part, to do what we can. Now, giving out gospel tracts is a great way to do it. It's the least confrontational, the easiest to do. I was going to say the most easiest, but that would drive my wife crazy, former English teacher, so I won't say it's the most easiest, but nevertheless, it really is. But as I said at the beginning, we also need to be prepared at the drop of a hat to be able to share the gospel, to be able to do it in such a way that a lost soul can trust Christ because of what we tell them. It's our duty. Now, the second part of our method here, not just go out and make disciples, but also to see them baptized. Baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, that doesn't mean that we baptize them three times because God is only one. There are some churches or denominations that baptize three times. Once in the name of the Father, you go down a second time in the name of the Son, and you go down a third time in the name of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not what God is teaching. That would mean there are three gods. There's only one God, but he's revealed himself as three persons. And so we baptize once in the name of the Blessed Trinity. And so doctrine is important all the way through. Everything links together. And so if someone is wrong on one aspect, everything is going to fall apart. The conversation I had this afternoon, the important part to relate on this is that poor fella didn't have any authority. He just did whatever he felt. And the Bible was not the final authority. And as I appealed to him to trust Christ, because that's what the Bible says, he just had trouble with that. I asked him, now, what is the question I said you need to ask to find out if someone's saved or lost? How should you ask them? Why should God let them into his heaven? And I always use the word his because it belongs to God. We don't have any right to it. Just like if you came over to my house, it's my option whether I'm going to let you in or not. If you've been nice to me, I might let you in. If you haven't been, I'm going to close the door and say, see you later. No, I wouldn't do that. But his response was, because I've been good. That's where you find out. Now, if I were to ask him if he was a Christian, he would have said, certainly. But that's how you ask. And so that's how, as we go therefore making our teaching all nations, winning them to Christ, sharing the gospel, then seeing them take that second step, seeing them baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so as we heard the letter from the Tharps, it's encouraging to hear that's exactly what they're doing with those two ladies, that they won to Christ, that they now have baptized and now praying for their spiritual growth, because that's the third part of the method. It's our duty to encourage people to get baptized. It's our duty to encourage them to trust Christ, but it's also our duty to teach them to observe all things, whatever God has told us. Now, that starts in Genesis 1:1, doesn't it? It goes all the way through Revelation chapter 22, verse number 21. And so we need to teach them to observe everything in this book. Now, here's the million-dollar question. Will they observe everything in the book? No. Let me ask you this. Now, you don't have to answer this. It's a rhetorical question. Do you obey everything in the book or observe everything in the book? You know, if we're honest, we'd say, no, I don't. That's called sin, and we know that we all sin. Nevertheless, we're to teach everything in the book, whether we're doing it consistently or all the time or not. And we're not to be discouraged if we see them falling and we see them not following. You know what would happen? If that was the case, if we would get discouraged because someone wasn't doing everything they're supposed to do, there wouldn't be a single church with a pastor. Not a one, if that was the case. Because, you know, God gives pastors a message, and we preach it, and sometimes it falls on deaf ears. And what do? Do we quit? Do we give up? Some do, actually, and that's unfortunate, because God has called them to that position. You don't give up, you just keep preaching, because you serve God. And you're in the same boat. Though you may not be a pastor, it's your duty to teach them to observe all things, whatsoever God has commanded us. And if they're not following, do you know what you do? You just keep on teaching. You just keep your chin up, because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for God, and that's who you serve, and it's your duty, and you're just supposed to obey God. It's just that simple. That's called faithfulness. Faithfulness. All right, and so this is our method. We follow the method because it is our duty. All right, let's turn over to the book of Mark. Let's look at the mission field. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we go to our mission field because the world needs us. The world needs us. How else are they going to hear? They're lost and dying and going to an eternity in hell, burning forever, eternal torment and suffering. The only hope they have is if we'll reach our mission field. Now, you notice two things in this verse. He gives us the geographic mission field. He says, all the world. All the world. Every place in the world we're to go with the gospel. Now, we know that some places are more difficult than others. We know that there's some closed nations. In fact, we support some missionaries that if you want to find out what's going on in their ministry, you're going to have to read the board, because we don't read them here in our Wednesday night service for our missions update, because we don't want to compromise their ministries. Because if that somehow gets picked up and they get identified, they can be in a lot of trouble in those nations. And so I'm glad that even though it's a difficult place to minister, that they're doing it nevertheless. I mentioned here recently about the missionary group. They're out of Georgia. It's the Atlanta area where they've got a whole team trying to reach China. And most of the team has been kicked out of China. And one of the fellas was kicked out for preaching the gospel, was gone for about 6 months. He grew a full beard, wore a baseball cap and sunglasses to get into the airport, but facial recognition picked him up. And he didn't get in the nation. They caught him, and they kicked him out again. So you know what he did? He went to Taiwan. And he's getting ready to start his fifth church, and I think he's been there maybe 9 years. And just God is just using them. But nevertheless, they're trying to get into some of the difficult nations in the world, and I'm glad people are. I'm glad our nation isn't like that, aren't you? We don't have to close the blinds and make it look like no one's here. We want people to know we're here. We want people to join us. But there's a whole different story. And so our mission field is the entire world. We had some missionaries in Ohio. They were really an amazing couple. They had an elderly mother that they came off the mission field to take care of, and they wrote all the churches and said, we're not in the mission field, drop our support, but we'd like you to pick us back up when such time comes that we can go back on the field. And I thought, yeah, sure, they'll never get back on the field. Well, a few years later, we got a letter from them saying, we're ready to go back to the field. I hope you'll support us. And we did. And they went to a nation in Africa. And as they were describing the nation, they were saying that this is the most difficult field in the entire world. Now, these are missionaries. Now, he was a doctor by profession. And as he was doctoring, he felt the call in the missions and went as a missionary doctor to the Philippines. And that's where they came home. He was in the Dayton, Ohio area and goes back into Africa, just a terrible field. It's dry, it's Muslim, and they lose missionaries that go to the field there. And he went there to serve, and he served there for several years until Mongolia opened up. And he went to Mongolia, brand new mission field, almost no Christians in the entire nation, and not an easy place. Now, by now, he's past 70 years old, and he's retired. He's still serving in Mongolia. And he was there for, I don't know, 6-7 years. And then he was in China. He left the mission field and went to China. You know what he was doing in China? He went there because he has two sons that are there. I'm not going to tell you his name. You wouldn't know him anyway because I don't want to jeopardize his son's ministry. But while he was there, he was teaching ESL classes, English as a second language, trying to win Chinese to Christ. He was helping build the church, and he was encouraging national pastors. You know where he is now? He's in heaven. And I'll bet he's got so many crowns on his head that he can barely hold his head up. Well, I don't think that's a problem in heaven, but you know what I mean. Just because he was faithful in difficult places, even when most men and women throw in the towel and say, I've served my time, it's time to take it easy. You see, our mission field is the entire world, and we go simply because the world needs us. They need us. But we have not just the geographic location of our mission field, but we have the personal aspect of our mission field to every creature. That's our responsibility. God didn't say, well, you get these over here in this nice neighborhood where they're cultured and they're civilized. You get them and I'll go get the cannibals. God didn't say that. God said they're all yours. If you don't go, no one's going, and they'll wind up in hell. Every creature. Now, in our part of the world, I was going to say, sometimes, well, we obviously we have the cultured and the civilized, But you get looking around, sometimes it looks like we've got some pretty uncivilized barbarians living in our own neighborhoods. You know, with funny shaped hairdos and funny colors in their hair and more metal on their face than you have in your car anymore. They're our mission field, aren't they? Just because they look different or smell different. I've had some of those. And it wasn't pleasant. But you know, they need the gospel, don't they? And they're our mission field. Why? Because the world needs us. Well, let's look over in the book of Luke. I've got to get moving or we're not even going to get done with the first time through. Luke chapter 24. We've seen the method and we do it because it's our duty. We've seen the mission field. We go because the world needs us. Here's our message. Here's our message. Verse number 47. Here the Bible tells us, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, I just had a thought. So many times in the Great Commission we see to the Jew first, or here beginning at Jerusalem in Acts 1:8. Jerusalem is where it starts, Samaria, uttermost part of the world. Why would God include that? And we understand that it was being spoken to Jews. But do you suppose God knew there would be those today that would say that God is done with the Jew and God wants to let them know that that just isn't the case? He's trying to make an exclamation point on that. But here's our message. Repentance and remission of sins. Now, I got a really good definition for repentance. And this is from Webster's, is it 1828, 1829 dictionary? Here's what repentance is. The relinquishment of any practice from the conviction that it has offended God. The relinquishment of any practice from the conviction that it offended God. I think that's a pretty good definition because I looked in a modern dictionary and it just said to feel sorry over something that you'd done. That's all repentance was. And I know repentance is a whole lot more than that when you read it in the scriptures. It's a change of mind, a turning of heart to be going one direction and to change and go another. To decide for God and to live for Him. And this is the part of the gospel message that's being left off in so many churches because they don't want to talk about sin and there's no need to preach on repentance if there's no mention of sin. They're not preaching the gospel. If you read the book of Galatians, you find out it's another gospel which is not a gospel. It's not going to get anybody saved. If they don't have sin to get saved from, then what are you preaching? That God is love? Yeah, He's love. But you better repent and experience the love that God offers. Repentance and remission of sins. Can God get any clearer? This is our message. And the reason we preach the message is because only the gospel will satisfy. Only the gospel will satisfy. Again, in reference to the telephone call I took this afternoon, one thing I found out about the fellow I was talking to is that he was religious, but it didn't satisfy. He had real issues, not because he didn't want to be religious, not because he didn't want a relationship with God, but he was lost. He didn't know Christ as his Savior, and as a result, he had no satisfaction. Have you ever read the biography, autobiography of Harry Ironside, H.A. Ironside? He grew up in the Salvation Army, and he had some real psychological issues because he struggled with the fact of sin. And they preached that you should be sinless. And if you sinned, you lost your salvation. We had a fellow, by the time I got to Bisiris, he was way up in years in a nursing home and had Alzheimer's and in the very, very last stages. But they tell me that when he came to church, he went to a Nazarene church that taught sinless perfection, that you could lose your salvation. And they told me that he got to the point where he could not sleep at night, afraid that he had committed a sin and lost his salvation. And he was so relieved when he went to the Baptist church and heard the preaching that once saved, always saved, under the blood of Christ, eternally secure. And so he trusted Christ and didn't have to worry about his works and had no trouble sleeping thereafter. You see, the gospel is all that satisfies. The world goes to other things, pleasure. That's why drugs are so rampant and so many other things that I don't think are proper to talk about. And I was going to say mixed company, but I don't think we should talk about it in any company because it makes your mind go where it ought not go. So you know what I'm talking about now, and I just made your mind go there. I apologize for that. You see, the world's trying to find satisfaction in everything except the gospel. And if they just turn to the gospel, they'd find out it satisfies. And that's why we preach the message of repentance and remission of sins, because that's the only thing that'll satisfy the world's longings. Well, we certainly didn't make it very far today. We'll continue on this, Lord willing, next week. But the Great Commission is given to you and me for a reason. Let's stay faithful with it, sending our missionaries, but also reaching our own community for Christ. Father, we're grateful that you've entrusted us with the gospel. Father, we're such unworthy messengers, such unworthy ambassadors of yours. But help us to be faithful. Give us courage. And Father, give us power that the message would ring true in the hearts and we'd see souls saved. For your honor and glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.